Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. The Lord has blessed us with another beautiful day to worship His Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we gather here today, it is good to gather this morning, but it will also be great to gather this evening. It is not too late. If you have not signed up for our ice cream fellowship tonight at 5:30, I encourage you to do so. I don't know if the sign-up sheets are still out tonight, but it's safe to say, please come tonight, 5:30. We have the Mad Scientist starting at 5:30. He'll be gathering at 5:30 for some fun scientific experiments, followed by ice cream and cookies at 6 o'clock. I guess that'll be about the time we're going to eat. So don't skip out on the Mad Scientist to come eat ice cream at 6 o'clock. So you never know what you might see at 5:30. Might get you more hungry at 6 o'clock for the ice cream. But tonight, it will be a wonderful time of fellowship tonight. So please come out for this evening for a wonderful time of fellowship around the table, fun upstairs in the fellowship hall this evening. I also want to remind you, immediately following the worship service today, we do have a special call business meeting that will be discussing the heating and air conditioning system downstairs. You've heard about this over the last couple weeks. That will be immediately following the worship service here in the sanctuary. I also want to remind our missions team, the group that will be leaving next Sunday morning, going on our mission trip to Tennessee. We do have a brief mission trip meeting right after that business meeting. We'll meet over here on this side of the sanctuary immediately following that. So this morning, a couple meetings taking place right after worship service this morning. There are many other things going on in the life of our church. Prayer and praise coming up this week on Thursday. Other activities coming up you can see in your newsletter. Also sent out an email this past week as well. I do want to remind our ministry teams that next Sunday is the deadline to get anything in the August newsletter. Janice has already started working on the newsletter for this coming month. If you have things that you would like to have placed in the newsletter, please make sure you get those to her by next Sunday so she can make sure she gets those in the newsletter for next month. Many other things going on in the life of our church. Check out the bulletin and the newsletter for things coming up in the coming weeks. As we gather here this morning, we do turn in God's Word. Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 61, reading verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is who we gather here. We gather here on the rock this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come here this morning, we lift up this prayer knowing that you hear us, knowing that the Spirit is moving upon us already, knowing that the Spirit is guiding us in worship, knowing that the Spirit is going to move in ways that we can't even begin to imagine, whether it be through reading your word, through singing a song, through the words that Norman is going to bring in just a few minutes in his message. Father, we don't know how you're going to move, but we know you're going to move. Father, just open our spirit so we can feel you, so we can see you, so we can hear you, so when we leave this place today, we will not leave the same. Father, we look forward to being moved by you this day. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and sing our hymn of praise, Here I Am to Worship.
Made this heart adore you above it.
So the time is almost here. You've been hearing about this for months now, and our missions team has been preparing. Next Sunday morning, July 21st, our Chattanooga missions team will be gathering here at 8 o'clock in the morning to pack the bus in preparation to depart for Chattanooga, Tennessee. We'll be leaving on Sunday morning, and we'll be traveling back on Friday, July 26th, for a week's worth of missions work, along with four other youth groups that will be joining for a week's worth of work in Tennessee. As we prepare to leave that morning, our team will be wearing these mission trip t-shirts. Our youth group has prepared these, and our missions team has prepared these, and on the back of it, you will notice there's one big word. Can anybody read that out loud? The big one, not the little ones. Can anybody read it? Everybody read it out loud. Pursue. That is kind of our theme word for this mission trip for our group, and is actually the theme verse. The theme verse for this trip for our group is this, for the whole camp, actually, for Youth Works this summer, is Psalm 23:6. 6a, it says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the day of my life." Now, you may recognize that verse. Psalm 23 is a very popular scripture passage. We've heard it read many times in many different settings. These words were penned by David in the 23rd Psalm, and it's a reminder that God pursues us on a daily basis with his love. On a daily basis, God pursues us. Now, our mission team will be pursuing a mission that God has placed in front of us when we leave next Sunday morning, a mission that he placed in front of us many months ago. We'll be pursuing the mission that he has placed on us, but we have not forgotten that he will be pursuing us on that same mission, not just next Sunday when we leave, but on Monday as we head out to the work sites, on Tuesday as we return to those work sites, on Wednesday as we shift work sites to a different location, on Thursday as we wrap up our missions work, and then on Friday as we reflect on everything that we've done for the week and as we return home. Each single day, God will be pursuing us with his love, and each day we'll be pursuing others with the love that God has blessed us with. That's what missions is. And it's not just those who go out of state, but it's our job every single day to pursue others with God's love. I ask that you be in prayer for us. I know you've been praying for months for our group, but this week especially, as our youth team, as our youth and our leaders get all those final details organized in preparation for this trip, be in prayer for us as we prepare not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually for this mission trip. Prepare, we just ask you to pray for the city of Chattanooga, Tennessee, that they will embrace us as we leave, as we approach them, as we head that way. We ask that you pray for the Youth Works leaders, those that have been there all summer working with youth groups, and they'll be embrace us as we arrive next Sunday. We also ask that you pray for the other youth groups that we'll be partnering with as we join with them next Sunday. We've never met them. I have emailed with a couple of the leaders, but we have never met them before. But we'll be working as a team starting next Sunday. Also ask that you pray for the individuals in Chattanooga that we'll be working for, that they will embrace us and that we will embrace them as well in the work that Christ has planned for us. Be in prayer for us. be in prayer for this group, that God will move us, and that God will work in us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. Every mission trip is different, and every day is different, and it will be an opportunity to God for God to work through us and work in us. At this time, I'm going to call out the names of the mission trip team members that will be leaving with us next Sunday morning. And I encourage you to come out next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock to see us off as we leave. The goal is to be on the road at 8:30. But as I tell everybody, we're going to be here at 8 o'clock. If we're ready to go at 8:15, we're going to leave at 8:15. But 8 o'clock next Sunday morning. As I call your name, I'm going to ask the team members if they'll come down front and just stand down front down here. Olivia Allred, Samuel Durham, Catherine Farnham, Joshua Mills, Jacob Pritchard, Patrick Roof, Tristan Roof, Sally Farnham, Melissa Mills, and myself, David Durham.
Nice looking group here. If you're a deacon, come down and join these folks. I want you to get around them and circle them with your care and your prayer. If you're a prayer partner for one of these folks next week, stand up. Okay. As we are together, let's pray for these folks. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, creator of all that is, the giver of all good and perfect gifts, we thank you this morning for an opportunity to pray for these folks who are going out in your name. We thank you for this church that sees the value in youth ministry and in missions. We thank you for the leaders, and we pray for each as they go forth this week that they will be a positive example to the youth, that they will act in a protecting role, that they will be available as counselors and as friends. Lord, we pray for each one of our youth that they will go forth boldly in the name of Christ to pursue those they will meet and to be pursued by your Spirit. Use them. Use them in acts of kindness and compassion. And as they go forth through the week and they go into experiences that they've never had before, meeting new people, being in new locations, that they would be open, Lord, open to new friendships, to new challenges, and that they would be open to the movement of your Spirit as they not only share, but that they grow in their own faith. We ask your protection upon each one as they go forth. We pray for the other groups that they will meet. We pray for all that is happening in the city of Chattanooga. And so now, O Lord, we commission these folks to go forth in the name of Christ and as representatives of First Baptist Elon to share the message of hope in word and in deed. And we send them forth knowing that you will go before them and stay with them and work with them when they return. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, who died in the long ago, that we might have life abundantly now and forever. Amen.
Hymn this morning is "This Is My Father's World." Let's stand up and worship together.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this church. We have been blessed in so many ways, and we just want to humbly thank you for this mission trip that is about to start, continuing in your work, Lord, helping us to reach out and bless others, our other neighbors, and open our eyes to see the needs all around us and try to do your work as you so desire. Lord, we just want to take this time to render back a small portion of your many blessings. Bless this offering. Help us to use it to bless others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be seated.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, reading verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray together? Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace this morning, acknowledging that we are sinners in need of your saving grace. You have heard our cries, our petitions, and you have responded with the greatest gift of all, your Son, our Savior, and our Lord, and we are eternally grateful. Lord, this hour we not only confess our sins before you, but we take a moment to bring others to you. We remember those who've lost loved ones recently. We pray for those who are recovering from accidents or procedures or illnesses. We pray for family members who are going through difficult situations. We know that you care. May they know that we care too. Lord, we ask now that you would bless the reading and sharing of your holy word this hour. And we always make our prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ and for his sake. Amen. We continue in Acts this morning, chapter 4, a couple verses, beginning with verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servants. Excuse me. Your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. And now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The word of God for the people of God. Winston Churchill once said that there is nothing quite as exhilarating as being shot at and missed. Perhaps that could also be said about being arrested, thrown in jail, and then released. Except in the case of Peter and John, they were warned against talking about Jesus anymore, and they knew that arrests were coming down the pike for them. And their story is told in this text this morning. The scripture says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. I wonder where they went. Do you ever wonder where they went? Where would you go first if you'd have just gotten out of jail? Since we're not told in chapter 4 where they went, I peeked ahead to another story, and that story in Acts, where Peter was once again in jail and he broke out at night in the middle of the night. You remember that story. Acts 12:12 says this: Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Now, you may never have heard of this mother, Mary. You've probably heard of her son, though. We call him Mark, not John Mark. Mark is the author of the second gospel. He was a man whose mother raised him in a home that was famous for prayer. This mother named Mary had the go-to house in Jerusalem for believers to gather who had problems and needed prayer. She was a marvelous Christian mother. Let's go back from Acts 12, back to Acts chapter 4, safely assuming that this event took place in the same house of Mother Mary. You know, Peter and John had a problem. They had been arrested once. They were warned never again to teach in the name of Jesus, and they were actually set up for further persecution. They were no match for the religious leaders who were backed up by the full power and authority and force of the Roman government and the Roman army. You know, think how much easier Peter and John's lives would have been if they'd have just stuck to fishing. Their decision to follow Jesus got them into more trouble than they could have ever imagined. Being a follower of Christ was not an easier life, it was a harder life. And the same could be said for some of us sometimes. Deciding to follow Jesus can make life more difficult at times. Now, most of us will never be arrested for our faith, but we all have problems. We have problems with our health, we have financial problems, we have problems with family members, friends, jobs, lack thereof, all the kinds of relationships. I've never met a person ever in my life who didn't have a problem sometime. We all have them. Some problems we can handle on our own, can't we? Some problems we need a little help because they're beyond our control and beyond our resources to deal with. And that's when we really need the help and the prayers of others. The question is, who do you go to when your problem is huge? Think about that. Who do you go to? Peter and John knew exactly where to go when they faced their problem. Scripture said they went back to their own people. They went straight to the community of believers that they knew would understand what they were going through, that would stand by them no matter what they faced, and would pray for them. I'm impressed with the words in verse 23, went back. When they use the words went back, it means that relationships had been established previously, before the crisis came along. I've spent a lifetime in ministry watching people with crisis problems. Those who have Christian friends, those who are attached to the Church of Christ, who have a team that will pray for them, do far better than those who do not. You can't even dispute that. That's a fact. People who have those relationships do better in their times of crisis than those who do not. When you lose your job, when you're faced with a diagnosis of a terrible disease, when you lose a family member or you face a disaster, that's not the time to start developing people who will pray for you. It may be a little late. Peter and John, you see, had their own people to whom they could go, they could return when the crisis came. And so here's a question for all of us to ponder this morning. If you get slammed this week with the biggest problem of your life so far, who will you ask to pray? Who are your godly friends? Who will understand what you're going through? Who will pray to God on your behalf? Blessed are those who have praying friends in whom they can always turn. When asked to pray, the friends of Peter and John knew exactly what they were doing. They were experienced prayer veterans who knew to acknowledge God before asking. Did you hear that? Acknowledge God before asking. Listen to what they prayed. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. They started acknowledging God and not asking for what they wanted. In that short phrase, they acknowledged that God is sovereign Lord who created the universe. They acknowledged that He is the God who revealed Himself in Scripture, that He is the God of history, and even when nations and kings and rulers oppose Him, God always wins. They even went so far as to cite a specific historical event when God prevailed. In verse 27, they said, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. In other words, God is behind whatever happens in history and even turns bad things into good. King Herod of Israel and the Roman governor Pontius Pilate conspired to kill Jesus. But God was in the background using their decisions to accomplish human salvation through Jesus' death and resurrection. So what's the point of all of this? Their prayers acknowledge that God is the Lord of creation, that God is the Lord of revelation, and that He is the God of history, and God can do absolutely anything. And this declared and bolstered their faith that God could handle the problem that Peter and John were facing with the Sanhedrin and possible future persecution. God had done it before, and God would do it again. And so they asked, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Once they had acknowledged the greatness of God and the power of God, then they made three requests. Consider the threats, speak with boldness, and perform miracles of mercy. Now, we can learn much from the way they prayed through their problem. Amazingly, at least it is to me, they didn't pray for the problem to go away. I think if I'd have been there, I would have been inclined to ask God to zap the Sanhedrin and to exempt the believers from future persecution. But they didn't do that. They didn't ask to be excused from the problems they faced. They asked God instead for three things. First, to consider the threats. They asked God to check out what was happening. Not that God was ignorant of what was happening. Of course He knew what was happening. But it always helps to request that God read through the file to make sure He knows what's going on. There is enormous comfort in knowing that God knows about your situation. And he does. Second, they asked to speak with boldness. They prayed for boldness in talking about Jesus. And when they did that, they would actually be defying the law and getting into more trouble. They weren't praying for deliverance from their problem, but boldness to represent Jesus well in the midst of their problem. That would be like praying to God to help us speak for Jesus in the middle of our unemployment, or in the middle of a bad illness that we have, or a troubled relationship, or the loss of a loved one. And third, perform miracles of mercy. They prayed for God to perform healing and other miracles. Their prayer wasn't to defeat their enemies, but to do acts of kindness and compassion. They were not vindictive. They didn't seek retribution. They prayed to God and for God to spectacularly triumph over opposition with expressions of love. We don't see much of that today, do we? It's a great example of how we should pray for ourselves and others when we face problems in life. Start by acknowledging God and not asking for the moon. It makes common sense, doesn't it? You ever go in and ask your boss for a raise? You don't walk in and say, "Give me more money." You go in and you say, "Oh, you're such a wonderful boss. I love working for you." Even more so with God, you start with respect for who God is. Remember who God is and what God has already done for you. Ask for strength more than solution. Sure, you want to pray that the problem will go away, but more important, it is that we pray not that God would eliminate our problems, but we ask God to make us bold, to make us strong, and to do good through the problems we face. Peter and John picked the right place and the right people to pray, and the results were quick and powerful. Verse 31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Ooh, that's pretty good, isn't it? First thing that happened, the place shook. Now, I don't know whether it was an earthquake or a collective sense of the presence and power of God. You know, sometimes a couple will tell you that their first kiss made them spin and shook their world. You ever had that experience? They were in love. Well, it's even more so with God. When God responded to the prayers at Mary Mother's house, they all knew that God was there. Second, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This had happened before, right? It certainly had. The Bible likens the filling of the Holy Spirit to being drunk. Only it's not alcohol that's making you that way. It is not alcohol that takes over your body, but the Spirit of God Himself. The filling of the Spirit is all about who is in charge of our lives. Is it the world or is it the Spirit of God? When we are full of love, we act like lovers. When we're full of helium, we talk like Donald Duck. But when we are full of the Holy Spirit, we behave like God. Third, they spoke the word of God boldly. They exuded a courage and confidence when telling others the truth about Jesus. You ever picked up somebody from the airport, been on a trip, and they were so excited when they got back, and they just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked because they were so full of excitement about what had happened, they gushed like a fire hydrant. And that's the way those believers were after they prayed. It was a great day at Mother Mary's house. It started with a problem. It brought people together in prayer to God, and it ended with great results. But the problem did not go away. In fact, after that prayer meeting, the problem only got worse. Those for whom they had prayed ended up right back in jail, and the next time they were flogged and threatened with death. I don't know about you, but all this raises some issues for me. When Christians face really big problems, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to ask God for a miracle to fix it? Can God really reconcile a marriage that's been wasted? Can God really turn the outcome of an election or a war? Can God really cure cancer or other dreaded disease? Because if he can, why doesn't he? And if he can't, what's the sense in believing in God? Now, before you think I've lost my mind, hear this. I believe that God is sovereign, just like we are told in Acts 4:24. I believe that God created the world. I believe that God revealed himself in the Holy Scriptures and ultimately in his Son, Jesus the Christ. I believe that God is the God of history and that he can do absolutely anything. But I also believe that God created an ordered universe with laws of science that were his ideas. Remember, he created everything. Miracles are the exception and not the norm. We pray for miracles, and sometimes God says yes. And we pray for miracles, and sometimes God says no. Since God is sovereign boss, we trust him to give the right answer whether we like the answer or not. When God chooses to perform a miracle and solve our problems, we are deeply grateful. Or we should be. When God says no, we must be deeply faithful. We pray that God will give us the strength to make it through, to make him look good, and to be bold in our words for Jesus the Christ. The great lesson from the prayer meeting at Mother Mary's house is this: God does not guarantee to make all of our problems disappear. But what God does is turn our human problems into supernatural victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want us to take a moment this morning and pray. We're going to do a directed prayer. You don't have to pray out loud, But I want all of us to pray. I'm going to make a statement. I want you to pray about that. Then we'll move on. It won't take but a minute. Let's pray. Acknowledge the glory and power and sovereignty of God. Ask God to consider what's happening in our world, in our church, and in your life. Pray for your pastor search committee, that each one will be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that God will provide the next leader for this church according to his will. Pray for boldness to speak about the love of Jesus, even in the midst of tragic events. Pray for God to perform healing and other miracles, that he will use you to do acts of kindness and compassion. Sovereign Lord, hear the prayers of your people just now, and maybe, just maybe, this place will shake too. And we make our prayer in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to come this day for a confession of faith in Christ as your Savior. I invite you to come for baptism. I invite you to come for church membership. I invite you to come and pray for your church in the days ahead. I got to amend that. Pray for our church in the days ahead. God has great things in store for us. Let's be a people of prayer for him. Come as we sing.
Faith has got the joyful sound, the song of saints on earth.